We read in verse 13, on this side and on that side to cover it. Now in verse 14, we will read about this covering, and thou shalt make a covering for the tent of ram skin dyed red. And finally, just a little word about this one, and a covering above of badger skin. You'll notice the emphasis that is placed on that word cover and covering. Verse 7, thou shalt make curtains of goat's hair to be a covering. Verse 13, on this side and that side to cover it. Verse 14, thou shalt make a covering. And the last part of that verse, and a covering above of badger skin. Our study tonight is a study of covered glory. This tabernacle speaks of glory. Beautiful coloring, beautiful embroidery work, blue, white, purple, scarlet, all interwoven with cherubim, five curtains, 28 by 4 cubits, another set of five curtains, 28 by 4, all joined together with loops of blue and 50 patches of gold, a most beautiful, a most glorious thing, but covered, 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 covered. We will now read in the New Testament of covered glory. We'll read from the Epistle to the Philippians, chapter 2, commencing to read at verse 5. The Father. Now, as we have suggested in these verses from Philippians, we have the covering of the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. He made himself of no reputation. He covered the glory of his kingship and his place as Messiah. He was made in the form of a servant. For the glory of his lordship and his glory as the master of the house. He was made in likeness of men, the glory of his Godhead and the glory of his deity was covered. And he suffered the death of the cross, covering the greatness of his power and his glory as the Son of God. This is a study that can be found in many places in the Bible. All through the Lord's sojourn on earth, it was a story of covered glory. Now and then the glory was manifested. Here and there the badger skin was drawn back, ram skin dyed red was turned back, the goat's hair was taken a little bit away, and the glory of his person and the majesty of the Lord Jesus was manifested. John said, we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Peter says that he heard a voice when we beheld his excellent majesty and glory. But that was not often. Most of the time when he was on earth, his glory was covered. As we have already noticed, our study for tonight is a study of covered glory. You were noticing in the previous night that in John's Gospel in the first chapter, we read this expression, "The Word was made flesh and dwelt or tabernacled among us." And it was then that John said what we have noted together. "We beheld his glory," suggesting that this was not true with everyone, but this was the exceptional thing. Now, to a casual observer who looked at the tabernacle from the outside, there was nothing splendid, nothing magnificent. It was beautiful, it was glorious, it was wonderful, but all that beauty and all that glory was covered. The golden boards and the beautiful curtains were covered with goat hair and covered with ram's skin dyed red and covered with badger skin. All you saw from the outside was a rough exterior. Now this is a very pretty piece of workmanship, this badger skin. But if my brother were here tonight and if he were speaking to you about this, he would turn it this way. He wouldn't speak about it that way at all. And he really believes that that's about the way it looked. Mr. Waugh, who made this model of the tabernacle, used to pride himself in the beautiful badger skin. And he spent a great deal of his money to get this piece of badger skin. I don't know how many little animals have had their skin pieced together to form what he called the beautiful badger skin. But perhaps my brother is right. Perhaps it was just a rough-looking exterior, just like a dark, big coffin when you looked at it. And it reminds us of those words concerning the Lord Jesus in Isaiah. "When we saw him, there was no beauty in him that we should desire him." It speaks of the separation and the humiliation of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now I want to speak with you for a little while, as we have noticed on the blackboard, the key to the meaning, the identification of the material. We've already spoken about the outward view. Those of you who are here on Monday night will remember that we referred to the badger skin as a very special gift brought by the Israelites. For we learn from Ezekiel chapter 16 that badger skin was used for shoes in the desert. God said concerning his earthly people Israel, when he enumerated all the wonderful things he had done for them, he said, "I shod you with badger skin." That was a special mark of his goodness to his earthly people. You remember we noted that Israel were slaves in the land of Egypt. And one of the marks of slavery was no shoes. And when Israel left Egypt, their prized possession likely was badger skins for shoes. And yet when the call came for gifts for this house of God, badger skins were needed. And the Israelites gave up their prized possession, their badger skins, for God's house. But then we have the identification of the material. And it's one of those things in the tabernacle that is not at all clear. Almost everything else is white and blue and purple and scarlet and goat's hair and ram skin and copper and gold and silver. There's no difficulty about those things. But when you have badger skin, you immediately run into a difficulty. I remember having meetings on this subject many years ago in the Holland language. And I read my Bible in English, and then at the meeting I read it in the Holland Dutch language and sort of translated my thoughts while I was speaking. But when I got to the old Dutch Bible, I noticed that it wasn't badger skin at all. It was a word I was wholly unfamiliar with. And the salesman who was there said, "Oh, that isn't a badger. That's a kind of a sea dog." He said, "We used to have them in the old country. They lived in the water and lived on the land, and they were a sort of an amphibious creature." In the Revised Version, it is called a seal skin. And that carries with it very much the same thought. But I was having meetings in Kansas City once, and our brother, Mr. Sheldrake, was doing the preaching. I opened the meeting with a hymn or two, and then at the close I tried to preach the gospel a little. But I said to him in the early morning of that day when we were having the badger skin, I said, "Brother Sheldrake, it says badger in the Authorized Version of the Bible, but in the Revised Version it says seal skin. And in the Holland Bible, it's a sea dog." I said, "What do you think it is?" "Well," he said, "I don't know, but I will look up and try to find out." And so he did. He looked up in all his lexicons and dictionaries and concordances and various translations of the Bible. And this is what he found out. He found out that this badger skin might properly be a seal or a weasel or a wolf or a porpoise or a sea cow or an antelope or a badger. Brother Sheldrake was an Englishman, a very proper sort of an Englishman, and he would not rest until he had found out just exactly what it was. So he wouldn't stop for dinner, and he'd hardly stop for supper at night. All day long he tried his very best to get the real and proper identification of this material. And we were on the way to the meeting, and I says, "Brother Sheldrake, what is it going to be tonight?" "Oh," he says, "I don't know, I'm not sure yet." So I gave out a hymn or two and opened the meeting with prayer. Brother Chandra got up on the platform and he read the scriptures that I read with you tonight and finished with, "And thou shalt make a covering of badger skin." Now he said, let us turn to Matthew chapter 16 and read verses 13 and 14. And when he turned and read those scriptures, this is what he read. "Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" Then they began to say, "Oh, somebody says you're this, and somebody says you're that, and somebody says you're something else. Somebody says you're Jeremiah, and some of them say you're John the Baptist, and some of them say you're one of the other prophets, and some of them say you are Elias." Do you see the point, friends? Is it not striking that when the Lord gives us a picture of His Son as men see them, He gives us a picture of somebody that nobody really knows, that people form all kinds of opinions about, and yet they don't really know Him. They really do not know who the Lord Jesus is. And Bruce Barton has written a book which tells the ignorance of man's heart concerning the Savior. He titled it, "The Man Nobody Knows." But one thing seems to be certain. It is identified by color rather than by creature. But it seems to be some sort of amphibious creature. Something of a dual characteristic. Like a seal or a sea dog or a porpoise. Something that lives in the water and lives on the land. If you want to read something someday, very, very interesting on this aspect of this covering, I commend to you Mr. Rideout's book in the Tabernacle, who takes it to be a seal skin, and he speaks very beautifully of that one who lived in heaven and lived on earth. All the while he was on earth, he was the Lord from heaven, and he could speak of himself as the Son of Man who is in heaven. But this covering of the tabernacle speaks to us of the rejection and the humiliation of our Lord Jesus Christ. There are no measurements given to it. We do not know its length, we do not know its breadth, which you can understand is quite in keeping with the humiliation to which our Savior went. The depths of it will never be known by anyone. Then we have, beneath the badger skin, one of the most lovely coverings you can think of, ram skin. But not only ram skin, but ram skin dyed red. Now no one seems to know why. There was no preservative quality about it. It wasn't to make it strikingly beautiful in its appearance. It was not to attract attention, for it was just lying there between the goat hair and the badger skin. I suppose it was only seen when the tabernacle was lifted and it was carried through the wilderness. I don't think the dyeing of it red made it impervious to the elements at all. We will have to go beyond that to find out the possible reason why this was not only ram skin, but ram skin dyed red. Now you'll notice our little outline. The first thing we have was that the ram speaks of strength, and it was the picture that was used for the sacrifice, the offering of the consecration of the priest. You've often heard of how when the priest was consecrated, they took blood and put the blood on his right ear, put the blood on the thumb of his right hand, and put the thumb on the great toe of his right foot. That blood that was placed in those three places on the priest was the blood of the ram for the consecration. And it may be that when we think of the purpose of the ram, and when we think of the blood of the lamb used in that way, we have just a little key as to the interpretation or the meaning of this second covering, the covering of ram skin, and then that covering dyed red. The Lord Jesus was the one who was consecrated to God. He was the one who was devoted to God. And he was the one whose consecration and devotedness led him to death, even the death of the cross. And just as this ramskin dyed red had no measurement given to it, we can say to the Lord Jesus, whose I love for of God the Father, oh God can measure. Love that crushed for us its treasure. Him in whom was all thy pleasure. Christ, thy Son of love. And we can say to the Lord Jesus, as we sometimes say, Lord, even to death thy love could go, a death of shame and law, to vanquish for us every foe and break the strong man's core. We think of that consecration, that devotedness that led him from the glory to Bethlehem's manger. We think of it when we hear him say, Lo, I come to do thy will, O my God. We think of him when we think of the first recorded words that left his lips as a boy of 12. Wist ye not that I must be about my Father's business? We think of it when he set his face as a flint to go to Jerusalem. We think of it when he told his disciples, allow you to be delivered into the hand of Jew and Gentile and would be killed. And Peter rebukes him and he says to Peter, get thee behind me, Satan, for thou savorest not the things that be of God, but the things that be of man. We think of it when we hear him say, I have a baptism to be baptized with, and how am I straitened until it be accomplished? We think of him as we see him prostrate in Gethsemane with his sweat like drops of blood falling down to the ground. And with strong crying and bitter tears he said, "Oh, my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done." Our friends, this is the way the world saw him. There was no beauty that they should desire him. Just a piece of brown and bluish sort of gray. Nothing very attractive. But we love him for his humiliation. This is the way God saw him. His devoted son yielding up his life in willing obedience. And we say, "I love thee because thou first loved me and purchased my pardon on Calvary's tree. I love thee for wearing the thorns on thy brow, because thou art worthy, Lord Jesus, is thou." Then we have the covering of goat hair with its brass tatches and its blue cord. 11 curtains, 30 cubits long instead of 28, coupled together, making a 10. Now I suppose there are reasons for those numbers, but the simple thing is it was made larger than the tabernacle, so that it would cover it on each side, and cover it in the front, and cover it behind. It's a covering that tells the story of Romans 5. Much more, and not only so. You'll notice too that this time, it is not goat skin, but goat hair. It was badger skin, and it was ram skin. And it might as well have been goat hair, goat skin. I suppose it wouldn't have been nearly as difficult to just make it out of goat skin. For we were reading that wise-hearted women had to spin this goat hair. You say there must be a reason. No doubt there is a reason. You'll notice on our little outline that we have first the goat as a picture of the sinner. Now that is true. That has been true, I suppose, ever since the Bible has been written. In the common language of people, we speak of the sinner as being the goat. And the person who takes the blame, he becomes the goat. I don't know of any other reason for it than the Bible place given to the goat. The goat speaks of the sinner. But it also speaks of the sin offering. It's rather striking that in the Old Testament, the same word is used for sin as is used for the sin offering. So in the goat's hair curtains, We see the Lord Jesus not only as a sin offering, and not only as the one who became sin for the sinner, but we see him as the one who uncovers the sinner in the presence of God. Here is the goat, all covered up and quite a nice looking creature. But the goat is shorn. The goat's hair is taken off the goat. That lovely creature becomes an object of pity. All the beauty is gone. There's nothing attractive about the goat anymore. The covering has disappeared. And yet that very covering in our type, is rewoven into another covering. I don't know if you see the picture, friend, but that's what the believer sees in Christ. The believer sees in Christ a sacrifice, an offering for sin, and a complete covering that covers on 2, 3, 4 sides so completely that we can use the language of Romans 5. Much more, not only so, not only so. It speaks of the substitutionary work of our blessed Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And then we come to the beautiful curtain. I'm not going to say very much about these tonight, for we will get these colors again, if the Lord will, Friday night, when we speak about this gate in connection with this door and this veil. We'll have exactly the same colors again. For this gate was made of blue, white, purple, and scarlet. And this door was made of those colors. And the veil was made of the same colors. Then if we had time and we spoke about the priest and his garments of glory and beauty, we would notice that the priest's garments were made of exactly the same colors. And they're wonderful colors, dear friend. Wonderful in their significance. I will just very briefly say that the colors speak in their whiteness of the perfection, the purity, the righteousness of the Lord Jesus. In the blue, they speak of his heavenly character, the Lord from heaven. In the purple, they speak of his royalty, King of kings and Lord of lords. In their scarlet, they speak of him as the suffering one, the one who suffered for sins not his own. The two sets of curtains joined together by loops of blue and touches of gold speak of him as the grand man. Something that we will see in other places in the tabernacle. Then it was all made of cherubim, and the whole thing was like the fluttering of wings as you stood in the holy place and looked up, the only place where they were to be seen above you. Oh, it reminded you, friends, of that Old Testament expression found so often, the shadow of the wings. That was where Ruth had found an abiding place. That is what she had heard from the lips of Naomi. And Boaz said unto her, "The Lord recompense thee under the shadow of whose wings thou art come to try." I would like, friends, in the closing moment of our meeting tonight, so you are someone who learned the truth of these curtains, these coverings, someone who knew nothing in the world about them, someone who had no desire particularly to know anything about them. And yet in a very wonderful way, they learned the truth of those things that we have been looking at and speaking of together tonight. There are three or four persons I can think of that I could speak of in that way. But I like to think of the one we read of in John chapter 4. Let us turn to John chapter 4 together and read about her. John chapter 4 and verse 5. "Then cometh he, the Lord Jesus, to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near to the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat thus on the well." It was about the sixth hour. "There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus said unto her, Give me to drink. For his disciples were gone away unto the city to buy meat. Then said the woman of Samaria unto him, How is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans." You see the Baptist in, friends? It's just a typical scene. Something that happens again and again in the life of the Lord Jesus. Just a casual observance of him. She gives him the once over and she says, "Oh, he's a tired man. He's a weary man. He's a man who's taking a journey. He's likely hungry. And of all things, he's a Jew. Didn't think much of him. Didn't care to know him. Very little concern about the Son of God, the Creator of the universe, who was sitting by the well side that day. She didn't know who he was. She made up her own thought as to who he was. She didn't share the opinion of others. He never mixed him with Jeremiah. Perhaps she knew nothing about Jeremiah. She never thought he was Elias. She didn't think he was one of the prophets. She didn't think he was John the Baptist. What was he to her? Just a despised Jew. Just a tired, weary, thirsty man. But here's something she didn't know, friend. Here's something that God knew. Look at verse 3 of our chapter. "He left Judea and departed again into Galilee, and he must needs go through Samaria." Why did he have to go through Samaria? Oh, I'll tell you why, friend. He had to go through Samaria because that woman was there. He went on purpose to meet her need. He took that journey that day because that woman was one who needed him, and he went on purpose. There was a needs be to his journey that day. Oh, how it reminds us of that journey he took for hours. Say, when I was a boy, we used to sing a little hymn, and I tried to get it in choice hymns of the faith. I was one of the compilers of that hymn book, and I succeeded in getting it in. We hadn't sung it for years. Children, can you tell me why? Jesus left his home on high. He was happy high above, dwelling in his Father's love. Yet he left that home of bliss for a wicked world like this. The second verse is, children, I will tell you why. It's the story of the ram's skin dying red. Devotedness, consecration, even to death, that led him to Bethlehem, that led him to Samaria, that led him to Calvary. So we continue with our story. Verse 15. The woman saith unto him, Sir, give me this water that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. Jesus saith unto her, Go call thy husband and come hither. The woman answered and said, I have no husband. Jesus said unto her, Thou hast well said, I have no husband. For thou hast had 5 husbands, and he whom thou now hast is not thy husband. In that saidst thou truly. The woman said unto him, Sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. And that's the kind of a garment the prophet wore. A prophet always wore a garment made of hair. John the Baptist had camel's hair. Elijah and the Old Testament prophets had goat's hair. And it was typical of their work, for the prophet pointed out the sin and cried aloud and spared not. He showed God's people their transgressions and their sins. Here she is, a sinner in the presence of God's prophet. You see the goat's hair falling off, friend. Ah, she makes quite a pretense. She's a religious woman, too. But the Savior with one word robbed her of all her profession, robbed her of all her religion. She stands in his presence, in the presence of a prophet, who knows all about her, a condemned, guilty sinner. I have one more verse to read. It is verse 20. See if I can find it. Verse 28. The woman then left her water pot and went her way into the city and says to the man, Come see a man who told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? Ah, there he is, friend. And all his loveliness. And all his beauty. And all his perfection. And all his glory. All his majesty, all of that word Christ conveys to our heart. Is that to you? How far have you gone along with the woman friend? What is Jesus to you tonight? Is he like the badger skin? Is he like the ram skin diagram? Is he like the goose hand? Is he like the beautiful curtain? And you say tonight as we sometimes sing, that man of Calvary has won my heart from me. He died to set me free. Blessed man of Calvary. Did you know, friend, that he came on earth on purpose for you? That there was just as much a need be for him to go to the cross for you as there was for that woman of Samaria. Oh, I wonder, do you know him as a goat's hair? Have you seen yourself a sinner? Have you seen the sufficiency of his work for you as a sinner? Oh, God grant that you may. That you may with us tonight know in a little measure what it meant for him to bear away your sin. I hope you are not tired of singing with me that little chorus. I'm going to ask you to sing it with me again. Number 66 in our book. And after we have closed this meeting with prayer, we're going to continue our prayer in the singing of that little chorus. Let us pray. These pillars with their chapiters of silver, the hooks of silver and their cords and their pins and their sockets of brass, and the white burn wall that went round about this structure. And then Friday night, if it please God, we will speak about the door. So come out tomorrow night if you can. Make the meetings known to your friends and neighbors and relatives. You'll be glad to see them out. And if you are here for the first time tonight, I have a little tabernacle study notebook that I follow a little in giving these talks in the tabernacle. I try to write it on the blackboard, but I would like to send you one of these booklets. I didn't have enough of them printed to give to everyone that might come, some coming only once or twice. But if you'll give me your name and a piece of paper, there are paper and pencil provided on a table, I'll be delighted to send you one by mail. And I'm sure that it will help you to retain and bring back to your memory some of the things you've heard in this meeting. If there are questions you'd like to ask, you'd be glad to try to answer them. You do not know the Lord Jesus, would like to be acquainted with him. He'd be very, very happy to try to speak with you about him. God bless you. Good night. Come tomorrow at 7:45.